College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is the great offers from DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action, so here's what you gotta do. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code KCSN. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code KCSN, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. You must be 21 years or older, physically present in Kansas. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of Ain't No Seats.
All right, folks, what's good? New episode, Ain't No Seats podcast, and we have made it. Doesn't feel real. Me and AB, we were just talking about this. Does not feel like football season is here, but come Friday night, 7 o'clock, the Lance Leipold-led Kansas Jayhawks head into, would you guys say, the most hyped KU football season since 2000, what? Since Todd Reesing's senior year that really did not go planned at all, but we won't talk about that. Is this the most hyped and, I guess, most excited you've been for a KU football season? Whoever wants it can take it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, obviously, going into last year, people had seen some hope from Leipold's first year at the end of the year when they were competing. So people were just excited to see if that momentum would keep rolling. But now that you've proven you can compete with some of the better schools in the league, they obviously went to a bowl game, started 5-0. We know all the success they had last year and College Game Day and all that. So, yeah, it just seems real. And obviously a ton of production's back. They have some of the most production back in the country. And I think the most production on offense back in the entire country. So it has to be the most excited I've been. It has to be the most anticipated KU football season since, like you said, the Todd Reesing era.
Yeah, and AB, we've kind of talked about, obviously there's hype, but I've kind of said now it's, and I even said this last year, now it's kind of scary too, because you used to go in with low expectations. If you compete, you're happy. And now it's like, we got to make a bowl game. Like, I feel like that's a fair expectation. We need to make a bowl game. That's how I feel, and we'll talk more about our expectations, our predictions, things like that. But, like, it's most hype, but are you maybe the most nervous you've been about a football season in a while too?
Yeah, it's a weird thing going on inside of me. Like, I should be the most excited I've ever been with KU football, but it's like a different level of excitement, because usually we're counting down the days until we're shotgunning against each other in the lot and tailgating for 6 hours every Saturday. That's what we're juiced for. Now it's like we actually have football to pay attention to, and it's not, and, you know, we don't feel obliged to go in, watch a quarter, watch a half, and then go home, and the main stay is the tailgate. So it's like, it's almost, I hate to say it, like the least excited I've been for an opener, but it has nothing to do with the team, because I know when I see them, they're going to be good, and then I'm going to get, like, rejuiced about the football side. I think I just need to see it first. We're coming off the hottest week I've ever been a part of in my entire life. It doesn't feel like it's football season. And then I look at the calendar and it's 4 days away. So I think I just need to see it. I don't know about you guys, but it just doesn't quite feel like football season yet, on top of having actual football expectations. And it's in my mind, feel like Annie Ann, baby. I don't know what to do. I'm all pretzeled up.
Just wait. The first hype video they put out where Jalen Daniels at some point yells new era, and it's going to be a great, great song behind it. Oh, that'll get you going. We'll be ready. Well, but
I'm sure.
I agree. It is a different excitement. It used to be an excitement of, I don't know, kind of like you said, hey, it's fun. It's fall. We get to hang out with our friends. We get a drink. And now it's like excitement, but also there's nerves, just like there is heading into like a a big KU basketball game in Allen Fieldhouse. You're excited, but you're also nervous, and it's amazing to feel that for football, because it's just not something we've really felt other than the final, yeah, 6-7 weeks of last season. But so I think what we want to do, and B-Turn, you can add more thoughts if you have them, but I think what our plan for this episode is today is we kind of just want to go through some best case scenarios. We each kind of brought our own best case, and they may be similar. We got a worst case scenario, because that's always on the table. And then we got some bold predictions or just any takes you want to rattle off that you think maybe not everyone's going to be expecting or something you want to predict. So before we get into that, B-Turn, did you have anything else?
No, I kind of agree. It's kind of weird that football season is literally, I mean, it is here. Week zero just happened. It doesn't feel like we're 4 days away from playing, or like probably 3 days away from playing once people hear this. It does feel weird. I was kind of going to ask, because I kind of feel the same way as AB. Like, I don't feel as excited as most years, and it's weird because we've been so shitty for a while. So maybe, do you think it's to a point where maybe we just feel really, I know it's early in their careers at KU, but do we feel really comfortable and kind of not content because there's more to do, or does it have to do with us three gentlemen getting older?
Well, if you want to have a therapy session about how sad I am about the fact that for some reason, as I get older, my love and obsession for sports tends to go down. That's an episode for another day. We're going to need, like I said, a licensed therapist on the line for that one. But no, I really don't think it's a getting older thing. I think it truly is like, it's a feeling we haven't felt in so long. It really is a different type of excitement, like AB laid out. But no, I'm also not content at all. And I think part of the reason I'm not like just so amped is because I'm also terrified. I'm very scared I promised myself I wouldn't do this on today's episode, but like, there is still that KU football that is ingrained into our brains of, oh, they're going to disappoint me again. They're going to disappoint me again. And I really don't think that's going to be this team. I really don't.
Yeah.
But I do think it affects our brains, even if we try really hard not to. But I think, like AB said, the second you see Jalen Daniels sling a ball Friday night and Andy Kotelnicki drop something absolutely sick, I think we will all feel really good about where this program's at, and we'll get really excited for what's to come.
Yeah, because, I mean, I keep telling myself that I'm not going to be nervous Friday night. Like, this coaching staff's great. We're going to be ready to go. They're going to take care of business. But I guarantee you, when I pull up to the booth, see the stadium, the nerves are going to hit, and I'm going to start having weird thoughts like, what if this game's competitive? But honestly, in the past, you, like, with all those teams that were so bad, you never knew what you were going to get. So I guess that kind of was exciting. Like,
and let's be honest, we talked ourselves in every season that we were going to find a way to like turn it around. Not that we'd make a bowl game, but it was like,
oh my God,
4 wins this year. Les Miles, see him on the recruiting trail.
Yeah,
we have a documentary on ESPN, 4 wins.
Man, that was sick though.
I was talking the other night about when obviously we lost to Coastal 12-7, but then we go to BC and Khalil Herbert and Puka just went nuts, and they end up beating BC, and we were like 21-point dogs. And going forward, I was like, holy shit, we have a legit coach, and we're legit again. And then obviously wasn't the case. And then beating Tech, and then we had K-State the next week.
And then Khalil Herbert walked in and said, I'm leaving. I'll never get over the fact that we have that Boston College game, and Khalil Herbert was then just like, hey, you know, that was awesome. I'm going to leave. Wild, but it worked out for the guy. Okay, I guess before we get into best case, worst case, all that, what is your expectation for this Friday? Because that's another thing, you know, years and years it's been, let's just win. Let's win on Friday. Let's win on opening day. I don't care how we do it. Let's win. I think last year we all agreed, like, okay, let's actually dominate a football game. I think I remember saying that, like, let's go in and look like a team that's truly the Big 12 team versus the not even close, the FCS school. Like, but what do we, I mean,
do we need to win by 40 to feel good? Do we need to win by 20? Do we need to?
There's no score that's going to make me feel good. Yeah. Like, I don't think it's like there's, I mean, I'll feel great if they win 56-7, of course. Like, I'm not going to be mad walking out, but it just feels like there's a nothing to gain, everything to lose thing. The biggest thing I want to see is no one to get hurt. Like,
Jaylen. Like,
especially someone important. Jaylen, yeah. He's been dealing with stuff. Like, I don't. That's the one thing. Or if they just struggle all night, because that would just feel like a letdown. But I'm kind of viewing it as a preseason game. Let's get in. Let's get out. Let's get that 1-0, and let's get, move on to Illinois.
Yeah, I really don't want a. I don't see this happening, but I really don't want like a 14-10 game, or even like 14-7. Like, I want the offense to look good. I want it to be fun. I want there to be a little bit of momentum. Like, I'm at, even if we see, I disagree. I think if we went out and won 56-7, we're going to be saying, oh my God, Kodo Nicky, Heisman's winning the, or Jalen's winning the Heisman. Like, that's how we are. We're idiots. We will take way too much out of this game. Yeah.
But wouldn't you move on would be like, because Illinois, this Illinois game week two, I feel like is one of the bigger non-con like week two games we've had in a while. We've been looking forward to that game for so long. Is it not just, cool, we won, now it's let's move on. We have a real game coming up at home. It's going to be awesome. We've been talking about it since the schedule came out.
Yeah,
I don't know how long I'll be hung up on it. But I get your point. Like, I guarantee what's going to happen is they'll win 63-14, and all three of us are going to be tweeting, like, look at Jalen's Heisman odds. KU, they're like 40-1 to go to the conference championship game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of interested to see the spread, honestly. I know some analytical sites have had around 20-24. You know me, I'm a gambler. I've been checking like every app all day, because usually it comes out at least game week. Haven't seen it yet. But yeah, obviously last year they kind of held back offensively against Tennessee Tech, but I don't think Missouri State is going to be anywhere near that type of level. I mean, we've all had our takes on Tennessee Tech after the game last year, but Missouri State's a team that they went into Fayetteville, Arkansas last year, and they were up 27-17 at Arkansas. So
I want to hear that. Don't love that.
No. Arkansas, obviously a good team with a bunch of NFL talent. They ended up scoring like 21 in the fourth, I think, and won by like 10. But yeah, they were down two scores in the fourth. I don't know. I saw a tweet something about them losing their quarterback and someone else. I know, yeah, they won 38-27. Nick said, Nick, I don't know if you know who they lost, but I think they lost quarterback or something before the season. So I don't know what to expect from Missouri State's side, but obviously expect KU to be prepared. Lance Leipold said today, JD's the starter. There was really no question there, but obviously there was injury concerns. So yeah, obviously I'm more excited to watch the defense. I think we know what we're getting in the offense. I want to see how the defensive line looks, how we look in the trenches against a team that's obviously less talented than us.
Yeah, and I think I would love to just come out, have an electric first quarter, get up 21-0, and then even see a scenario maybe where Jalen doesn't have to play like an entire second half or much past the third quarter. Let Bean get some reps and let Jalen just – I just want to know Jalen's healthy and good for Illinois, because like AB said, that Illinois game is a massive game that will impact – I don't know. I feel like it's kind of like the swing, or like it's going to dictate.
Season defining.
That's the word.
I think it could make or break.
Yeah. So I want Jalen to be healthy. But yeah, we'll see. Obviously, I'm not going to take anything too crazy, or telling my brain that's smart right now to not take, even if we play bad, don't panic. If we play good, don't overreact. But we'll probably do either one, whatever happens. But
yeah,
it all comes down to Illinois. That's going to be the game. That's the game that I just want to make sure we are healthy. But it would be fun to just absolutely pump somebody week one like we did last year. So, okay, let's take a quick break. We'll talk a little bit about home field here, and then we'll hit a break, and we will be back for best case, worst case, and some bold predictions. But we got to talk home field. The guys are at it again. They had the drop. I mean, the Circus Font hoodies, it's not even a new one. I don't know where to do it, but they always deliver. We've never doubted them. We knew they would. The new drop was fantastic. I hope you got your stuff. Hope you made your orders. You know about it, but I'm going to still read the things you need to know about Homefield. They got unique designs. They dive into the archives and history of each school, which actually is very impressive. Like, to the amount of schools they cover, the amount of schools they have, to the ways they know, like, they connect with fan bases and know what fan bases want is pretty awesome. We love them. I've never had a bad thing to say about anything I've gotten from Homefield. Check them out, homefieldapparel.com. They've got a wide selection. We always joke that they just had a new college that came out where I was like, oh, wow, I might buy their stuff. Like, you'll buy Grambling State gear if they come out with Grambling State. They might already have had. But get your hoodies.
Tell Grambling.
Hoodie season's coming up. I've got my hoodie. I have another one on the way. It's Homefield. Not much more needs to be said. Go check them out, homefieldapparel.com. We appreciate their support, and you're crazy if you haven't bought anything yet. So shout out Homefield, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Make sure you download our new app. Find it on the App Store or Google Play. Just search KC Sports Network.
So, best case, worst case, bold predictions. I'm a little scared to do this because best case will get me fired up. I'll be so excited. Worst case will have me talking myself into those scenarios, and bold predictions is just fun. Where do you guys want to start?
Best case.
Really? You want to end kind of a negative note?
No, we'll end on a bold note with our predictions. People will forget what we say in the middle.
And if we lose all 12 games, just kidding. That will not be my prediction. But, okay. Let's start best case. AB, do you want to start?
Yeah, I'll start. I think best case is 10-2. I may have said it on here before, and again, best case is not a prediction. I'm assuming health all the way through, progression all the way through from what we've seen. The schedule, it kind of hit me today. It's not that bad. I think there's one game that I would be surprised if we won. There's also, like, every other game I wouldn't be surprised if we lost. So, like, it's really going to be a toss-up. But TCU last year, every one of their games was a one-possession game that they snuck out at the end. Obviously, that's random, a little bit fluky. If we go 10-2, it's probably going to be a little fluky with a lot of good luck. But I can picture that happening in a way where they're 10-2, they lose at Texas, and they lose at Oklahoma State or something, or K-State at home, or one of those tough games that we all know about. I don't want to go through the whole schedule. But it's not impossible, and it may sound outrageous, but again, we're talking absolute best-case scenario, and I think that's kind of where our ceiling is. And I think if we go 10-2, we're playing in Arlington in first week of December.
So,
yeah,
are there two games, I guess you kind of said at Oklahoma State, K-State, but like in that best-case scenario, because that's what I'm – like you said, the schedule is – it's not – crazy hard, but it's also not easy. Like you said, any game we could lose outside of hopefully opening night. But what are the two where you're just like, okay, even if we bring it, Jalen brings his A game, Kotal Nicky's in his bag, everything's going right, I don't see how we beat that team. Like, who are those two games to you?
Really, there's only one, and it's at Texas. But even that one I could talk myself into now because it's the week before Red River, so it's going to be – could be a little letdown spot. They're playing little
– I didn't like that.
I know. Absolutely love it. But, I mean, other than that, our road games, Cincinnati's going to be average to below average. Iowa State, they don't have any players because they're all addicted to gambling, $15. Oklahoma State, sure, that's fine, but certainly winnable.
Yeah.
And other than that, our only other road conference game is at Texas. So, like, if we're, you know, the crowd is as juiced as it was last year, there aren't a lot of home games that I'd be shocked if we won. I'm not going to say we win all of them, but yeah. I mean, go through the home schedule. Which game would you be surprised if we won? K-State, I mean, K-State, sure, because it never happens, but we could talk ourselves into that. Like, I'm not going to yet, but none of us would be surprised if this was the year it happened.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That's why I wanted you to kind of go through that, because...
So maybe it isn't 10-2. Maybe it's 11-1.
See, outside of, yeah, like you said, outside of playing in Austin, which maybe we should all go to since, what, this will maybe be the last time we play there in Austin?
Atana's birthday. I'm sure she'd be pumped when I say, hey.
Look, you're coming with
me. You've got how many more birthdays does Santa have to celebrate with you, Ryan?
It's conference realignment. Sorry, go ahead.
No, outside of at Texas, I feel like the tougher or some of the toughest teams in the league are in Lawrence. And obviously, I'm not saying we have the best home field advantage in the country, but you've seen KU on the road throughout the years. And obviously, playing in any Big 12 environment is going to be tough. So being at home with a sellout crowd, like an OU, if we're in Norman this year, chalking that as a loss. Still probably am, because that scared me last year. They went up-tempo, and we just couldn't adjust. Dylan Gabriel's back. They always have insane amount of talent. I was looking at look-ahead lines today. It's OU -7 in Lawrence, which isn't crazy. So one-score line. K-State was -6 against us at home. We're due to at least compete with them, maybe for the first time. And I guess since that game in Manhattan where we had the 80-yard run that got called back on holding, we should have won. But outside of that, like Tech's at home. Tech's supposed to be pretty good. I think they're like a 3-point dog against Oregon coming up, which that tells me Tech should be pretty good. UCF's supposed to be solid. That's at home. I was looking at BYU. Their over-under is 5.5 wins, and the under's juiced to like -150. So maybe BYU's not going to be that great. I know they got Keaton Slovis, the USC QB transfer. So I think we have like you guys said, the Illinois game, I think maybe not make or break the season, but I think if you win that game, the fans start. Yeah, he went to, I guess he did USC, then Pitt, then now he's at BYU. But yeah, I think, just because winning and losing a football game can do crazy things to fans' minds. Like, you could lose to Illinois in triple overtime and everyone would be like, damn it, like, we're not going to go bowling. Or you could win it time and everyone's like, damn, people could start saying Big 12 championship type stuff. So I think if we beat Illinois, we're going to end up being 3-0. And then you have BYU, Lawrence. And like I said, they're under juiced. Wins. I don't know how much that means, but it's at home. I would think we're favored if that's the line. Win totals. So I guess that kind of was going to be my bold prediction, but I don't think it's crazy bold. I have a start in 5-0, so, or 4-0. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, ooh. Yeah. I mean, okay. So more on the Illinois BYU thing, because yes, Illinois does feel like the make or break part of the season, but I'm sitting here looking at this. You beat Missouri State, and then you lose to Illinois, and we will definitely melt down for a week about losing to Illinois. But then you go win at Nevada, and then if you beat BYU, you're still sitting at 3-1 going into Texas. I think everyone's happy with that, and I think that's a scenario that could absolutely happen. But it'll just be that week span where you got to make sure losing to Illinois does not compound into losing at Nevada, which who knows where you go from there. I don't think that would happen, but yeah, I think start 3-1, and this is going to be an amazing, like, I think we can get to 6 wins if we start 3-1.
What do you think the percentages are we start 4-0? Because obviously Illinois is going to be a tough one. I could see that game kind of being a pick. I keep bringing up Vegas win totals, but it's the only way I can really look at these teams, because I don't know shit about Illinois besides they lost a ton of talent to the league. But they're at 6. I think their over-under is either 6 or 6.5. So I would guess they're kind of near our level, and it's at home. So I would guess it's a pick. They have a young QB. I think they have a sophomore QB that's going to be starting. Okay, yeah, Nick just said transfer QB from Ole Miss will be starting, Luke Altmyer. But it'll be in Lawrence, so I'm not going to gift wrap us the win, but
yeah,
I as a homer, I personally would take KU week 2 at the booth against Illinois.
Yeah, I think, I don't know what odds are would be to win, start 4-0. Obviously, it would be not great, but I think there's also a chance we're favored in all those games. Like, if you think we'll be favored against BYU, then I think we will. I think Illinois may end up being a pick'em, and obviously it depends on how week 1 goes for everybody, but it's kind of crazy that I love the way some people hate the schedule, some people love the schedule, but what I love about it is I think the first 4 games of the season are about as fun of a start as you could have if you're looking to build momentum. Like, to get Illinois, who's a big enough name program, but not terrifying program either is perfect, because if you beat them, you spin it as, oh, we beat a Big Ten team. If you lose to them, you get to say, ah, well, it's Illinois, stuff like, I don't know. BYU being the first Big 12 game, I think, is great. So I love the way the schedule starts. But, yeah, it's going to be that middle part and really probably the final four games of the season may be what gets us to a bowl game or not, how we perform in those. B-Turn, what is your best-case scenario? Or, AB, do you have any thoughts on what we just said?
No, but I semi-disagree. I don't know how excited I'd be about 3-1, because this is going back a little bit. Because I think then the kind of starts to tumble like a snowball a little bit. You lose to Texas 3-2, then you're in the meat of Big 12 play, and it's a lot of those toss-up games we were talking about. Well, then they just might start going the wrong way because the vibes aren't as high, the juju isn't as good. That's just me being in my head. But I don't know. That was the only thing that really...
What if you
but again, like, I'm not going to be pissed off that we're 3-1 with a road non-con win, a win against Illinois or BYU before. Like, it's nice, but it's not like, I think it could still go south if we're 3-1.
Because, like, for me too, at the same time, I say 4-0, but it's hard for me to just give us Illinois and BYU. Like, mm-hmm. we really can lose both. I'm not saying we're gonna, but I would. If I had to guess, I would guess both those games are tight spreads before the game. But, yeah, if we lose like a last second, like Illinois gets the ball late, they go kick a game-winning field goal and beat us, and I told you we're still going to end up starting 3-1, I feel like obviously we'd take it at that point. But, yeah, if best case, I think personally, it sounds crazy saying it, obviously, but it has to be Big 12 championship, right? Because I'm not really sure what else you would say. I mean, last year they go 6-6, make a bowl game, had a chance to win that bowl game. But what would you say outside of Big 12 championship for best case? Would you say like 8-4?
That's what I wrote down, 8-4. And I guess maybe that's probably, you guys are probably more right if you're just talking a best case scenario. So a best case scenario probably means when you play K-State, they have a player that's hurt and somebody's hurt or they're in all sorts of trouble somehow, a star player's out, and you win that game. And then the best case is also you upset Texas at Texas. Like, yeah, that certainly, if that all that happens, yeah, Big 12 championship, certainly a best-case scenario. I guess I tried to be a little more. I guess the way I looked at it is I want to do a best case that I truly believe could happen.
Yeah.
And what I did, I said 8-4, because I truly can see a route to that being a 4-0 start. Yeah, and B-Turn's got it written on the board back there, 8-4, a 4-0 start. And AB, real quick on your thing about how you could really start to see it tumble if we start 3-1, but I think 4-0 you could still see it tumble. As
for sure.
You said, with the schedule, everything is like UCF. We could beat UCF, but also we could lose 21-7 to UCF.
Oh,
I don't know.
We score 7 points in a game this year. I'll be.
I know.
It'll be a podcast saying, you want to listen to.
I know nothing about UCF that like this year, but
they're 39-point favorites this week against Kent State. I know they have. I mean, Malzahn's their coach, John Rhys Plumlee, or whatever. Yeah, he's their quarterback. So yeah, they'll be good. But yeah, that one's in Lawrence too. So. What if you start 4-0, you go down to Austin, never going to say we're going to beat them. I know the look headline's 18 there, but you compete with them, which we have in Austin, weirdly. And that's kind of, I was going to bring that up, AB. I didn't know if you saw that yet, that they play OU the week after. I had a feeling you'd like that, but they're definitely, I would say they're not going to take KU likely just after kind of our history the last 5 or so years. Almost beating them there. We beat them in Lawrence 1 year. So, and they kind of have national title aspirations this year. Vegas loves them, but I know it's crazy.
More on that later.
Yeah, but you go down there, compete, and then you come home against UCF, which is that homecoming game or what's our homecoming game? Is it OU? I don't know, but 5-1.
Yeah.
If you start 5-1, I mean, yeah, and like you said, you start 4-0, it could still tumble. Last year, you start 5-0 and you win one game the rest of the year. So the league's just really good. I think we can compete, but those games that we can compete in, we obviously could lose a tight one late at the same time.
So here's my route to 8. I think it's You start 4-0. If you want 8 wins, you got to start 4-0. You lose to Texas. You could even lose to UCF, I think. But you win. I guess basically how I look at it is you break it down into segments of the season. You start 4-0, and then BYU, Texas. Texas, UCF, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. You just got to go win 2 of those, which I think UCF, we just said you do. And here's my – I'm just going to skip right ahead. Sorry. We've now blown 2 of our bold predictions.
Yeah,
my bold prediction is we beat Oklahoma because coming off a bye week, Lance Leipold, the staff, they get a week to cook. Andy gets a week to cook. Jalen going to be refreshed, good to go. And who knows, like at that point, let's say we're doing my scenario where we're 8-4. That puts us at that point, we would be with a win over UCF, you're 5-0, and then at Oklahoma State, you assume you lose. You're 5-2, you get a bye week, you beat Oklahoma at home, homecoming game, you're 6-2 now. And then you've got at Iowa State, who, as AB said, grossly addicted to gambling. Texas Tech at home. I know they're, Texas Tech's looking decent, but you can't tell me you'd be shocked if KU won that game. Kansas State at Cincinnati. Like, you got to go get 2 of those 4. So, like,
what you're telling me, though, is 10-2 is possible because those 4 final 4 games are all winnable.
I guess, yeah, you're right. 10-2 probably is. Yeah.
As you talk through it, 3, like, 4, you don't have to go 4-0 to start. Like, 3-1, there's still some breathing room. I do want to say one thing about that Oklahoma game. I know we mentioned it with the Texas one, how we play Texas the week before Red River. We play Oklahoma a week before Bedlam. Another maybe sleepy spot for him. So just another – that was also one of my bold predictions. I've got a few.
Oklahoma, dude. And I think Venables is not good. And I can see us beating them and that just being like the end of the – like. Not that.
That's the end of Oklahoma in the Big 12. Imagine the fans and the shit that they would talk if they walked off the field.
Venables is not going to the SEC with a lot. Like, no offense to, like, this KU is no longer the joke we have always been, but, like, it still has this feeling of, like, you lost to Kansas. You're OU. You can't lose to Kansas. If they lose to Kansas, Venables is done. He ain't making it to the SEC. Done. So, it just, I have the.
He's out on Venables after year one.
Absolutely. They were terrible last year.
If they're if they're average again this year, though, there's no way they're going to the SEC with him as head coach.
Exactly.
They've got to go to that conference with a bang.
They will go make a splash of a hire. Les Miles, probably. Just kidding. Mm-hmm. So that's my, yeah. I think maybe.
Hey.
Bill Snyder route. I think 8-4 is like legitimately. Now, there's so many things that if somebody wanted to make us look really stupid, could clip all these things out of context.
Sure.
Fire these up on socials, which is fine. But
I've got a problem with your best case scenario, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
You're just talking yourself into it. Like, that's what you think's going to happen.
I don't think we're going to start 4-0. I think we're going to start 3-1, and I'm going to be happy with that. And I probably don't think we are going to beat UCF. I don't think we're probably going to be. I think, if you want to talk our real predictions or save that till the very end, we can, but I don't think we're going to win 8 games.
See, that's kind of my thing with KU football is that I feel like our fans don't want to talk themselves into any sort of crazy expectations because of what we've seen. So, like last night, I was tweeting something about KU and someone asked me, what's your win prediction? And I'm sitting there in my head like, I can't say better than 7-5 or I'm going to get shit on. I just can't say better than 7-5. So I feel like it's just the KU football nightmare we've experienced since Mangino left, and we don't want to get our hopes up at all. But is our offense not, maybe as good as any offense, at least in the league?
This is a pure example of why you're spot on right now, Braden. Every time you say something good about KU or something that could happen, Ryan's a giggle factory, and he can't stop chuckling to himself.
I get it.
There's no... because he might be right. He ran very well.
I know.
Right. But like, to your point about KU fans not thinking that they are able to have expectations for this team, it's like happening right in front of our eyes. Like, but so I get where you're coming from, because I even sound crazy because I said 10-2 and then I went through it. I could say the same thing about 11-1. Like, we're like taking ourselves back because we've seen this for the last 15 years and it's just hell. But what does that have to do with anything that's going to happen on the field this upcoming season?
The thing I keep going back to, and why, I mean, we knew this would happen when we did a best case segment, is we would talk ourselves into that being real. But like, I just keep going back to this. I've said this on this pod before. We return more players than anybody. And if you've watched college sports your entire life, teams that return college players, basketball, football, it doesn't matter. If you return guys, especially in key positions like quarterback, running back, wide receiver, 91% total production returning. The math says, all the maths, all the things you've ever seen in your life about college sports, we will be a really good football team. But
I want to jump through my screen and tear your face off.
No, I know.
It's like everything you're saying is like the best case is a fucking championship. And then you're like 7-5. That's the best they can do. The best they can do.
I said
go to the Closet Bowl. That's where you're at.
I said 8-4. I said 8-4. But my point is, it's still that, like, I don't want to create an unfair expectation for myself, let alone the team.
I feel like 8-4 would be an expectation.
We're not
it is.
An expectation.
Best case, like, best.
Like, if everything goes perfect to form, like, I promise you, if Jalen plays 12 games, if everything keeps progressing like we've said and goes perfect to plan, I promise you they're going to win more than 8 games, Ryan. I promise you that.
Yeah, okay, so we're back to, we maybe looked at best case a little different. But, yeah, I mean, sure, I'm
it
not.
It doesn't have to be best case. It, honestly, if everyone stays healthy, I think they, like, okay. If everyone's healthy, I will promise you this. I promise they win more than 8 games. If everyone stays healthy, all the key players, all the all-conference teams.
I don't think that's a real, like, I think that's a crazy thing to say. And that's not me being a bad fan. It's just like,
it's not, but say it out loud. And I've been hearing this, and I've been on your side for a while, because when the preseason All Big 12 teams came out, everyone's like, you saw it from Scott Wildcat. A lot of my friends were saying, my brother said, you have the first team All Big 12 quarterback and offensive player of the year and running back, player on defense, offensive lineman, and a coach that we think is, what, top three in the conference? If those things become a reality, 8-4 is not the ceiling of this team. Like, I just don't know what else to tell you. Like, you have the best quarterback in the conference, top two coach. Normally, that's what wins ball games. And it's not like a conference that's full of, it's not like the SEC where you could be a really good team and finish 7-5. There are teams in the Big 12 that just, they're not going to physically overwhelm us like we've seen in the past. It's not. We don't have a top five playoff bound Oklahoma. I know everyone loves Texas in their top 10. We see this every single year with Texas. They're not going to go to the playoff. They're probably not going to play in the Big 12 championship game. I don't know. I'm getting fired up because I'm talking to myself. And you're right. The one thing I do agree with you on so far is we are absolutely talking ourselves into things that are probably unrealistic. And I'm expecting KU to be in Arlington now. But I'm just saying, like, open yourself up a little bit to some fun. Best case is not 8-4.
I mean, Nick wants us to hit a break really bad, so let's hit a break. And we'll come back.
We'll finish this
argument. We'll let AB, cool down a little bit. But we'll be back. I love this. This is great.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Make sure you download our new app. Find it on the App Store or Google Play. Just search KC Sports Network.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Okay. Or yeah, go ahead.
I was just like, if we finished 8-4 regular season, like, Ryan, would you be like shocked, like out of this world excited if we finished 8-4? Like, yes. Holy shit, what a year. Yes. I don't know.
We've seen this program go 12-1 recently. I'm not saying it's going to happen again, but like
15 years ago.
Right. But if we run a podcast in 2006 and I said best case scenario was 12-1 in an Orange Bowl, you would have cut my penis off, dude. Like, I just don't say anything that happened.
I've never been gaslit more in my life. I just said we'd go 8-4, and then I talked about how we might do it, and you're like, so disrespectful.
That's not what I meant.
No.
I just meant, like, if that's your dream, like, I'm in other aspects of life, like, in golf, your dream is not to shoot one under par. Your dream's not to shoot a 68. Like, if you go out there and shoot a 62, if everything's right, and you're just darts every
Yeah, and that's where we're at.
Round of your life.
There's a difference to me is, and this probably is going to sound stupid. Now we're just semantics, no, whatever you want to call it. Best case scenario is a little different to me than like out of this world, like fairy tale movie type season, I guess is what I would say. I'm just trying to think of the most realistic way. Wow, my brain just short circuited there. But yeah, I don't know. And I'm not like, as you guys laid out 10-2, I'm not saying it's not the best case scenario. It absolutely is. Like you said, the Big 12 does not have outside of Texas. And to us, Texas is kind of like a joke because we've beat them and we never get like Texas. Well, I shouldn't say that, but Texas is never like that terrifying to us just because of history. But yeah, it's just tell me this. What do you think is more likely?
Eight
wins or 4 wins.
Hey.
The fact that you didn't fire 8 right away tells me that best case being 10 is kind of crazy. Like,
no, because the thing, it's just like, that's a very different question, though, because now you're asking for a prediction, and that's like, okay, well, do I think Jalen's going to be healthy all year? No. Do I think that the defense is going to be like vastly improved and be like fucking awesome? We'll see. Like, those would be predictions. But best case, if everyone stay healthy, yes, winning 8 is obviously more, like, possible than 4.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, I think our, it's up to 6.5, right?
I don't know.
Wins? I saw plus 105 today over 6.5. So I'm not saying Vegas is going to be right, but I would lean more towards 8 than 4. Just obviously because I'm a homer, but yeah, we're starting 4-0. We got to win at least a couple.
I think the 4 route. Okay, so, and by the way, my worst case, so I think we're going to be way off because my worst case is not even, like, I don't even think 4 is on my radar either. So we can get into worst case if you want to.
I just wanted to ask you before we do that, because I feel like me and AB have answered this, but what are your like games you absolutely think we're losing besides at Texas? Because I feel like you always have at least a couple, because you keep it pretty realistic.
Well, I think at Oklahoma State, we're for sure losing. That's the one that I can't even get myself to, just because of last year, we got lucky with how banged up they were. It feels like they'll come out absolutely swinging. I don't think, like, I don't know which one it's going to be, but I think we're going to lose either Illinois or BYU. So there's 3. And I think at Texas, and then I made my bold prediction, we beat OU, but like we probably are going to lose to OU. So like those are the games where I'm like, okay, those are for sure. Now, I really want to say we're going to beat K-State, but you can't just confidently say that. I think if there's a year it's going to happen, it would be a team that returns as much as we do and a team that really, I mean, we played horrible last year in Manhattan and really, I mean, somewhat
bad is the score.
Yeah, we somewhat were in that game, and it took us just basically handing them points in that first half.
So that's why I don't see any gripes on the schedule. I don't know if you guys have any or what makes people think it's so hard, but I think the best teams in the league, besides a team that I think we'd lose to at home or there in Texas, are all at home. OU, A-State, yeah. UCF, Texas Tech. Oklahoma State will be solid. I really wish we had a better grasp on the Big 12. It's just so hard to keep up. I know, I think, Nick, you can drop in, but Alan Bowman, the starting QB, I believe, played at Tech. I think he transferred to Michigan. Yeah, Alan Bowman. I don't know. I mean, he was okay. Yeah, he's been in college forever, but I don't know. I don't know how good Oklahoma State's going to be. I mean, Gundy's been good forever. They usually have a good defense, but just trying to think of the games we'll for sure lose. I think Tech and K-State at home, I think definitely going to lose one of those games, maybe both. But, yeah, I mean, you got to stay at Texas for sure. And then OU scares me. I know it's at home, but, man, the Sting's whole offense into our defense last year was just hell. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't even realize the time. We've got to get going here. But, okay, let's hear worst case, AB. I want to hear what your worst case is.
We haven't even done bold predictions.
Everyone gets hurt, 3-9, 2-10, the typical 2010s, early 2020s Kansas football Jayhawks. Again, I don't think that's going to happen, but.
Just kidding. I'm not going to get as deep as
Lance will not be in trouble, no.
No, I was going to say, does Lance, like, hop at the first job offer he gets this offseason if that happens? But
no. Line, I think, but no, we don't need to get, yeah.
What about you?
That's not as fun to go crazy about over as the phone.
Yeah, which is good. I'm glad we saved this for the final 10 minutes. That was a good 5 minutes. That was a good call by you. B-turn, what was yours?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the injury thing, and I was going to say not going bowling, but obviously you win 5 games. I want to take a leap from last year with all the guys we have returning, like Nick said, 91% of production. I want to take at least a leap or stay at that same level. I think you get a bunch of injuries, you get blown out a bunch of weeks, don't make a bowl game, maybe win 3 or 4 games, you start losing recruits. Obviously, in the back of our mind, you'd start asking about the coaching staff potentially taking other jobs or whatever. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but yeah, I think we're talking worst case. So yeah, I think pretty much what AB said. I was going to say not bowling, but...
yeah. My worst case that I wrote down originally was 5-7, but as we started talking more, but how's that any different than yours? You said not going bowling.
Best now, case is 8-4. Worst case is
tiny window.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I was trying to be far more realistic, I think. So I think I
12-0.
I mean, obviously, best case, if we're going to be really technical about it, is 12-0, and we win every game by 100 points. Like, I wanted to bring some sort of realistic thoughts to it. And not saying, again, AB, you kind of talked me into 10-2, but like, Big 12 championship was yours, B-Turn, and then you say not going bowling. That's very different, I feel like. Or, I mean, that basically means you think we're for sure going to go bowling. 100%. Okay, so that brings me to, AB, do you have a bold prediction? Me and B-Turn kind of spoiled ours. Mine was beating OU freshman.
I've got one that involves a KU game and one that involves the Big 12. The Big 12, it's stupid. Oklahoma State is going to be in Arlington in early December. The schedule is so soft, it's not even funny. We don't have to talk about that. We'll get to that later. KU Texas, sneaky, 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 is going to be a top 15 matchup in Austin. And if I don't know if I want that to be my take, actually, I'm changing it as we go. My bold prediction is KU's ranked higher than Texas when they go to Austin. Because Bama, and you just never know. If KU starts out 4-0, looks hot, two of their first four games on like national TV, pretty much standalone spots. Their second game's at 9:30 at night. There's not going to be many things going on then. And then Illinois on a Friday night on ESPN. So they start 4-0 and get hot. Like, they're not far from being ranked now. It's going to be a little quicker than it was last year, where we don't have to start out 4-0 just to see the poll. I think if we beat Illinois, we're probably ranked week three.
Yeah, then you go in 24 week three.
Right.
Then you win that game,
and you can get up to like, I don't know, 16-17. Texas doesn't look awesome against whoever and then gets blown out by Bama. I don't think that's insane thing.
What are the odds that's game day in Austin?
I thought about
probably
that
have to beat Bama.
Well, my only concern would be if they do Texas OU the following week for game day. Like, I doubt they're going to do Texas back to back. But that's massive so brand. There's nothing that gets me happier than talking about game day plans.
And nobody's better at it than like looking at other opportunities for game day than you. Like, you're always just immediately like, well, nope, Texas.
I've already looked.
No way.
Because I wanted to make game day my bold prediction for KU Texas. You know how many ranked matchups there are week five in the whole country?
You don't know any.
I love that you've done this research.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero. None. Absolutely none.
I think another little take that I could throw into best case is Devin Neal and Daniel Hyde-Shaw staying healthy the entire year. I think if those two are healthy all 12 games, offense can be as dynamic as any in the country. I know that's crazy because you have your Ohio States, you have your USCs. I'm not saying we're going to have like the best offense in the country, but you saw what our offense was doing when those two were playing.
I forgot how good Hyde-Shaw was.
Yeah, he 44 carries, 262 yards, 6 a carry. And then Devin Neal averaged over six a carry also. And Hyde-Shaw had 5 touchdowns in 5 games. But yeah, at West Virginia, they were insane. At Houston, they were unreal. Kind of cooled off a little bit against Iowa State, but their defense. That's another thing is Iowa State, even if I know Decker stinks, I'm sorry, but I know even if he stinks, I probably would have marked that as a loss. Just because Ames is tough. Tell you the last time we've won there.
Let's go ahead. This real quick as we wrap up, because you're kind of doing it, B-Turn. What like is truly your prediction? Don't go game by game, but maybe like, I mean, is it 7-5? Is it 6-6? And like, if it's 7, who are we beating that maybe we aren't?
Yeah, I'll say 7-5 just because, like I said, I can't get myself to say 8-4, and I don't know why. That kind of upsets me. Should be a better fan, but I think I kind of agree with you with the BYU Illinois thing. Like, it's tough to just say we're gonna win both because, like I said, both spreads will be close. Yeah, so I think 3-1. Obviously, you lose at Texas. I think we lose to OU. That's 3, and then we lose to Tech and at Oklahoma State. Those are my 5. And I got us beating the old K-State Wildcats finally. Okay. Or Tech or K-State. I said we lose 1.
Yeah. AB?
I just want to start this out by saying how vastly disappointed I am with Braden after he wrote 8-4 on his whiteboard behind him before the episode started and didn't even predict it to happen.
It's upsetting.
I will say 8-4, though, now that I look at the schedule. Start 4-0. Split the Oklahoma games. Probably lose to Texas. And then go 2-2 in the final 4 games. That seems manageable. I'm not going to try and pick every single one, but yeah, I've talked myself into 8-4 in the last 50 minutes and 48 seconds.
I'm sorry, but if we beat Texas and start 5-0, what's the UCF game going to be like in Lawrence? Will it collapse?
Are we top five at that point? Top 10?
Top 10, sure.
We'll cross that bridge. Top 10.
Yeah. We don't have time to get into this. I'll say I think I'm going 7-5.
Best case 8, though.
Whatever.
It was just a simple, different...
Can't wait to listen back to this tomorrow.
Way of thinking about it. I never thought I'd see a day where me being like, oh, 10-2 seems a little crazy was like a controversial take about KU football. But no, I think you start 3-1. You find a way to win one of those games in the middle with UCF, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. And then you go in two of the last, right? Does that get us there? No, that doesn't get us there.
Oh, mother.
See, I might be leading 6-6. I don't know. Because the way I look at it is, like I said, I've got it 3-1. You find a way to win one of UCF, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and then you win two of the final four with K-State, Cincinnati, Iowa State, Texas Tech. That gets you 6, right? Yeah. All right. My official prediction, 6-6. Sorry. Guess what? We're going to a bowl game again for the second straight year, and I'm not going to be mad about it. I'm not going to apologize to anybody if we do go to the Cheez-It Bowl. Okay? All right. Guess that's all we got today. This was fun. It's fun to get fired up about KU football, especially when we're fired up about AB thinking 10-2 is, like, just happening.
Game week.
I didn't say that. I just picked 8-4.
All right, well, that's it. We made good time. This was good. This was efficient.
That was good.
Friday night, the Kansas football Jayhawks are here. Jalen Daniels is going to win the Heisman, and the Hawks are going to the Big 12 championship. There we go. Rock chalk.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all 6 of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.